love that we're a big family in this church. Hey, it's a blessing. And I love at this church that we're into connecting people with Jesus. Love that about this church. And no matter your background or your situation in your life right now, Jesus himself, he wants to connect with you. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't meet people and say, hey, you got to do this, that, and the other thing, and then you can follow me. He sat with sinners and he said, come follow me. Come follow me. That was his invitation. And the only prerequisite was a willing heart. And that's the same invitation today. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, Jesus says, come and follow me. So if you're visiting at Kingsway, our mission statement is helping people find Christ and community. And we're blessed to be able to do that here. Starting next week, we have an awesome series planned that I'm really excited about on the Holy Spirit. And the subject seems keeps coming up over the last little while. And we thought we were going to address that. And man, if our mission statement is helping people connect to the Lord, we better be clear on what the Holy Spirit's role is in that. So I'm really excited about that. I'm just going to watch these guys do it up. It's going to be great. you know, I've been asking a lot of people lately how they came to know the Lord. And, you know, when did you get saved? You know, was there anything that happened in your life that changed you? And I've been really blessed to hear so many stories of people's lives, all of you that have come to know the Lord. And man, I would just ask you guys, as we hang out here and you talk to folks, I would ask somebody, hey, how did you come to know the Lord? When did God, you know, touch your heart? What happened? And man, you'll be encouraged. I promise you that. And it's incredible to hear the work that God has done in everyone's life. And I know that he wants to keep doing it here. And we're committed to allowing that happen here. And I believe that when we honor God's word and we honor the name of Jesus, we welcome him here. He comes. He comes. And I can personally attest to when Jesus comes, your life changes forever. Your life changes forever. Christianity, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. And knowing God is the best part of my life and any life, for sure. And today, I'd like to talk a bit about that. And I'd like to talk a bit about when you've been a Christian for a while and you've gone through a lot of stuff as well, and the role that the Lord plays in that. And we're going to be in one of my favorite books tonight, the Bible. And we're actually going to be in Exodus. But I was thinking today, I love Revelation. I love Exodus. And I'm thinking, I think the Bible is just my favorite book in general. But so if you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus 3. And there won't be any Moses, Hebrews it coffee jokes tonight. I already got all that out last week. So just a heads up. And as you're turning there, Exodus 3 and the story of Moses. By the way, you should read the book of Exodus. It's just a blessing to me every time. And in chapter 3, we find Moses, he's left Egypt. They've talked about him being a baby and everything that happened to him as he was growing up in Egypt. And he's now in the wilderness, and he's a shepherd, and he's shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. And he's just kind of wandering. He's just kind of wandering, and he's out in the wilderness. And before I read this, would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Father, we just thank you that you are here tonight. Your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, in the name of Jesus, that you are in the midst, Father. We welcome you here tonight, and we ask that as we open your word and read it, Father, that you speak to us, that you draw us, and that we would follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Exodus 3, verse 3, Moses in the burning bush. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. A couple last verses here. It says, "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, mosquito bites," gotcha, "Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live." I just want to look at this exchange in a bit more detail tonight. Moses, he was in the wilderness. He was really not where he was supposed to be. He just kind of ended up there, but the Lord was doing a work in him where he was. And he was away from his home. He was making a new home out there. And the Lord gets his attention by this burning bush scene. And I want to tell you today that if you're not walking with the Lord like you know you should be, God is trying to get your attention today. Chances are you already know that, but he is drawing you. And maybe you've been feeling that for a long time. Maybe it's faded away a bit over the years, but God is drawing you. If you're new to all this today and you've been trying to get close to God, that's likely why you're here today. There's something called preeminent grace. And that's a theological word that means that before someone can see God or find God, God has already sought that person. God has been drawing you your whole life. You don't just stumble upon the Lord. No, he's been drawing you and leading you to himself. And I'm so glad he does. When you get there, you'll realize it was him all along. Absolutely, I sure did. But my friend, since God is drawing us, he is calling us, we must answer. We must answer. We must make a move. And so Moses, as he's walking along with these sheep and he sees the burning bush, he says, "Okay, I'm going over there. Something's got my attention. I must see more. I must know there." Something is stirring up inside of him that's causing him to want to go over there. He could have said, "Wow, that's cool. I'm busy. I got my own life. I don't really need to go over there." He could have said, "I'm going home for sheep curd poutine." I don't know what his thoughts were, but he made a choice. He made a move. He said, "I need to go over there and see more." And if you're feeling that drawing today, like, "I need to know God more, I want to know him more," I want to encourage you to follow that. Follow through with that. And maybe you've been considering giving your life to Christ and going all in with him. You see the burning bush over there and you want to know more, but in order to get there, you know you're going to have to leave some things behind. You know what it's going to take. You might have to leave some people behind. Because over on that hill is holy ground. And it's, but it's where you need to be. It's where you've been created to be. And so we must make that move. So Moses heads over, and I love this. The Lord says, "Moses, Moses," calls him by name. You know, it's one thing when you see a burning bush not burning, but when it calls your name, that's a whole nother thing. And I've noticed in my life that as we start to take steps towards God, and as he's drawing us, when we turn and take steps towards him, he comes out and he meets us halfway. He doesn't even wait for us to get there like the father of the prodigal son. When he sees his son running from far off, he runs out to meet him with a kiss and a hug and says, come on in. And so as Moses is on his way, the Lord says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says something really cool, really profound. He says, here I am. He says, here I am. You know something? All through the Bible, when people had encounters with God, so often those were the words they said. Here I am. Here I am. We see that with Abraham, Jacob, Samuel, Isaiah. That phrase, here I am, is a response when someone is searching for you, when someone is looking for you. It's like a surrender. You found me, and here I am. And for us, as we move towards God and encounter God in our own life, that here I am phrase is so perfect. You found me. I'm done walking the other way. I'm done hiding. You found me. Here I am. Getting ahead of myself already here. So Moses encounters the Lord and he says, don't come any closer. The Lord warned, he said, take off your sandals for you are standing on holy ground. And God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. You know, when the Lord comes into your life and you have an encounter with God, when you meet him, when you just know, there's a profound sense like, wow, he is a holy God. He is a holy God. There is none like him. He truly does see all, know all. He is God. And Moses just covers his face out of awe and reverence for the Lord. It's like man's auto response when we come into contact with the Lord. You know, from Adam to Isaiah, we cover up. We cover up. We see that God is holy and he is who he says he is. And we know that our sin nature and everything in here, it's exposed to him as we realize he is the one who sees it all. It's an all-encompassing sort of thing. He is holy and we are not. But as Moses could not come any closer, because of what Christ has done, we can get close to God. In fact, he comes right into our mess here and now. You know, something awesome to think about. Think about this awesome and holy God. He chose, motivated by his great love for all people, to be born in the flesh and walk among us, to sit with sinners, to love them, to heal them, to die for them. We have forgiveness, grace, and the covering of Jesus because of what he's done. And just like in Isaiah's vision of that burning coal that the angel picks up and places to his lips that are impure, when Christ comes into our life and touches us, he begins to purify us as well. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So much of this scene, I feel like with Moses, is such a beautiful picture of turning to Christ. The surrender, the here I am, the awestruck reverence of saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in that place, it's just like the walls of disbelief, they fall down. The blindfold falls off. And when we encounter the Lord, we are also changed forever. We just are. It's incredible. It's incredible. And if you're here today and you haven't experienced this, that I am moment with the Lord, wow, I would encourage you to really start seeking after it, to really start calling out to the Lord with all of your heart. On top of that, ask people. Like I said, it's been such a blessing to me just hearing folks' stories, you know. Some people said, man, before there was color television, I met the Lord. And I said, what? That's like, man, okay. Other people said it was before the internet I came to know the Lord. You know, some people said it was last month. But every time it's a significant, significant story when the Lord comes in. God says something awesome to Moses after this. He says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. He says, yes, I am aware of their suffering. Can I say to you that God, he sees you in your distress. If you're in distress today, God, he sees that. He knows your whole story. He's been watching you since you were a baby. He knows your day to day. He knows how you feel when you wake up. He knows the thoughts you have before you go to sleep at night. He knows you. And he knows exactly what you need. He made you. And he knows exactly where to take you. He does. And he says that I have come down to rescue these people from the power of the Egyptians. Anyone here ever been a slave in Egypt before? Yeah, same. But each of us have been a slave to sin. A slave to lust, a slave to greed, a slave to an addiction, you name it. And as a result, we can be bound by fear. We can be bound by worry, anxiety, anger, bitterness, apathy, all that sort of stuff, right? Does anyone here need to be rescued today? Amen. You see, like slavery, we cannot rescue ourselves from these things. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. The name of Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. And translated, it means to be rescued, the rescuer. It is Jesus. You know, when the Lord and Moses were having this chat at the burning bush, he said, who am I going to say, tell them, who sent me? Who do you want me to say I'm talking to right now? And we all know the story. The Lord said, I am that I am. I'm what I will be is what I am. Somebody had it here, they translate it, he brings into existence whatever exists. He is the great I am. From that, we get the name Yahweh. From that, people have started calling the Lord Jehovah. These words are what you call transliterated. No matter what language you speak, these words, you could say Jehovah to somebody in China, and they would know what you mean by Jehovah. The same is true with the word hallelujah and amen. So if you find yourself in a North Korean prison camp one day, and you meet another Christian, you can say hallelujah, and they'll say hallelujah, amen. You could have a conversation. How great is that? Hopefully we never get there, you guys. You never know these days. I really believe that we can experience the saving power of Jesus Christ. Like we sang tonight, to know you, to see you, to taste and see, we can encounter God for ourselves. And like Moses, when we personally encounter the Lord, our character changes, our priorities change, our whole life's trajectory changes. Maybe you're here today and you say, Zach, that's old news. Like, come on. That was like 20 years ago for me, 10 years ago. Dude, it was so last year. What about today? I've been a Christian for a while, and I've been through some stuff since then. Amen to that. Anyone here been through some stuff since you got saved? Awesome. There's some good hands going up. I see a big wave in the back. Yep, I hear you. You know, Moses, he went through a lot of stuff too. After that burning bush, he went through a lot of ups and downs. He went through a lot of wilderness, a lot of pain, a lot of growth, a lot of amazing things as well. In Exodus 32, something absolutely crazy happens, right? Many chapters have gone by, lots of stories, lots of life. And Moses was on the mountain with God, receiving the Ten Commandments and all these awesome plans that God wanted to do with his people. And the people down there, they were like, you know, Moses has been gone for about an hour. You remember that fellow, Moses? He's been gone for a bit. What do you say we just make a golden calf, worship it, and have a crazy party? Does that sound good? And everybody said, yeah, let's do it. And that's what they did. Moses, he was gone for too long, and there was just a huge falling away. There was just a huge thing that should not have happened that happened. And the Lord told Moses that it was happening, and they had an exchange, and Moses pretty much said, "Lord, let me get down there before you do, okay? I'm going to do my best to take care of this." Moses, he's so angry, throws the stone tablets, throws his coffee, and just a big scene down there is a catastrophe. Moses, you know, he was run down. I think after this, he was run down. He was discouraged. He was weathered. He was angry. It's been a long haul, and he just was down. And some of my favorite scripture here is in Exodus 33:7. We meet him there, and it says, Moses, it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents, and they would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Moses, in all his distress and all the things that he went through, he kept going to that tent of meeting. He kept going there. For all of his comfort, for all of his direction, everything that Moses needed to go on was found in that tent of meeting with the Lord. So today, Christian, I ask you, and this goes for me as well, do you have a tent of meeting? Do you have a tent of meeting? Where is the place you regularly meet with God? And when's the last time you've been there? You see, we need his presence in our life every day to do this. Every day. Did Moses rely on that first time, that burning bush moment? Absolutely not. It says, in fact, in verse 6, I believe, that he made a practice of setting up that tent. He made a practice of setting up that tent, and it was clear that the presence of God met him there. And I love how when the people saw that, they would bow down and worship. Something on my heart that I really didn't put in here but wanted to was worship. You know something, when God touches your heart, when you come to the Lord, and man, I feel like that's when the worship just comes alive in us. It's like, finally, I know what I've been created for, to worship God Almighty. And I just want to worship him. His presence comes. We are changed. We are made whole. It's a beautiful place to be. We should live every day of our life worshiping God Almighty. Lastly, there's this today. Christian, don't forget the first time that you met the Lord. You know, the Bible says that in Revelation, that speaking to the church in Ephesus, that they had forgotten their first love. And you know, for a lot of us, when we get saved, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful time, and then life happens. And time happens, and we slowly drift away. We slowly start making, compromises here and there. And all of a sudden, we are just not where we started off, you know? I've been there too. And we need to remember that place that we first met the Lord and how beautiful it was and the things we did when we were there. We need to keep going to that place. You know, when I met my wife, I remember seeing her Bible. I think I've told this story before, but it looked like she had taken it to war and back. It was this little pink Bible. She said she left it in the rain a couple times, so that didn't help. But, you know, I seen a young lady so in love with the Lord, so in love with his word. It inspired me so much. Well, obviously it did enough, right? But you know what? She kept coming back. She kept going back to that place where she first met him. And Moses did the same thing. And so what I want to say to you guys is that we need to keep going to that place, that tent of meeting. And we need to keep the fire burning. We need to keep seeking him in our days, in our nights, in our thoughts with all our heart. And this last scripture I want to read you with, it always just blows my mind. And I want to just show it to you here. It's Exodus 33:12. And it was shortly after this, and one day Moses said to the Lord, he said, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." And the Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Not you won't have any problems or any struggles or anything, but in here, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay." Then Moses said, this is it, you guys. This is like just epic for me. Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, do not make us leave this place." And I believe that is just such a beautiful cry of his heart, and it should be for ours. God, if you are not personally with me every day, I don't want to get out of my bed. I don't want to leave my front door. I don't want to live another day if you are not personally with me, God. And Moses, you know, is so incredible that his heart is like that. He said, How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? And I love this. It says, "For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." And you guys, when we have the presence of God inside of us, it makes us different from every other person on this earth who does not have him. You know, you want to take an evangelism class and all that stuff. When you have the presence of God, people are going to come to you and they're going to say, "What's up with you? There's something different about you." You know, it's a beautiful thing, and you have the opportunity to share with them what is different about you. The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name." And Moses, man, he says something awesome again. He said, "Then show me your glorious presence. Show me your glorious presence." Some translations say, "I want to see your face, Lord." It's this cry of the heart. And I want that. I want that in my life. I want to say every day, "Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to know your presence. I want to know you more every day." And like he said earlier, I don't want to leave. I don't want to do everything. I will not move forward until you are personally with me every day. What a beautiful cry of the heart that is. What a beautiful example that is for us as Christ followers. And the Lord replied, as we'll finish the story, he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose." You know, like I said at the beginning, you guys, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. And with a relationship, we can connect. We can be in the presence of, we have dialogue with. Man, knowing Christ, we are just changed forever. And it doesn't just happen when we come to know him. I really believe that God, he wants to personally be with us every day of our life. And our heart cry, like Moses, needs to be, "I want to see it, Lord. I want to see it. I want to know it. I will not go any further until you are personally with me every day." We got to get in that tent of meeting. We got to meet him there. We got to make time for it. We need to make a practice of it. That's the only way for a Christian who's been through some stuff that we're going to carry on enthusiastically, full of life with him inside us. And I'm just going to read Psalm 27 to you guys as we close. I invite you to just close your eyes, think about it. We will have it on the screen, and we'll wrap up. But this is just beautiful. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me when the trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O God. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. Every breath they threaten me with violence." And just to wrap it up, it says, "Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." He comes. He comes in, and we're changed forever. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of this life, God. Thank you that you've created us with purpose, Lord. Thank you that you don't leave us in the wilderness, God, that because of your love and your truth and your direction, Father, that you take us out of darkness and bring us into light, Lord. You restore, you heal. And no matter how tough the journey gets, God, you still give us everything we need to face each day, Father. God, I just pray for anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you or is feeling like they want to know more of you, Father, that they would continue on that path, Father, that they would cry out to you, Jesus, for more of you, that you would come in, Lord, and as you do, and change that heart and touch these lives, Father. And I pray that you would make us bold in these days, Father, to make a practice of having that tent of meeting with you, God. Would we celebrate that here in this place, Father? And I thank you that you're with us each day. In Jesus' name, amen.